Oh my God, what am I doing?
Hello, welcome to my channel, Just Thinking Out Loud. My name is Desiree. This video is about a book called 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote for Chaos, and a bit about the man who wrote it, Jordan Peterson, who has been gaining a lot of popularity lately because he is trying to save the West by bringing back some of our foundational principles. And that's something that wasn't super clear to me actually until I read the book, because he does this thing where he's a clinical psychologist, so he talks about the unconscious a lot and analyzes the symbolism behind many of the stories that we as humans have told ourselves from a very long time ago, and then brings it back to how it correlates with the modern world, with things that we are experiencing today. I'm going to talk about the book, however, and then go into what I really realized he was trying to get at. So this is the book, and these are some of my notes on the book. I actually ended up listening to the audio version a lot because I had been driving a bunch, but I also did actually read the physical book as well. So I think I'm going to start off with an overview. So it seems like he starts out with the basic duality of existence. The tagline of the book, other than 12 Rules for Life, is actually an antidote for chaos. So he talks about how the world we live in has some order to it. Like, normally we're very used to things being a certain way, and then something comes up and it brings chaos into our face. Even though the chaos is always there, we have a certain structure to how we navigate life. And then there are stories that we have told ourselves. Specifically, he talks about the hero's journey, where it basically gives us a guideline about how to face the unknown and different strategies that we can take to do so. He starts from a religious and biblical perspective because he's basically pointing out the fact that we have these stories that are what we could consider metaphysical and metaphorical analogies about how we as humans have learned to understand the world through evolution. So he definitely comes from a scientific perspective, but at the same time shows how our religious stories created a narrative that we could follow. So one of the first things that he talks about is Adam and Eve and the snake, and how the snake represented the unknown and chaos. And before, when they were just in the Garden of Eden, that was the known and the order, which is how most of us have realized, like everything's going on pretty well, and then something really terrible and tragic happens. And that due to God giving us suffering, because then, Adam had to work the soil and Eve had to bear children, and then they had to work all their lives for the things that they needed. And so they had to pursue what was good. And he really points out that what we call good is just the best way to navigate life. And then he talks about Cain and Abel, which is another story about how what happens when you follow the bad. So when you give into your emotions such as envy and jealousy, and decide that because you are suffering, somebody else must suffer as well, because you see them as taken away from you because they're not experiencing the horrible things that you're experiencing. He also talks about sacrifice, and I'm just trying to go into the very basic things that he talks about first. So sacrifice is a way of looking into the future, or long-term thinking. So you can give up something today in order to have something tomorrow. So in all those three things, the good and evil, and the sacrifice, and giving into envy, those stories capture the deep psychological happenings inside our minds. And I realized that really what Jordan Peterson is doing is allowing us to understand things that are within our unconscious. And that's why I think, for many people, myself included, we're so attracted to some of the things he's saying, because he's talking about these real world issues, like, say, the patriarchy, or the theory of the patriarchy existing, and what happened during the Soviet regime and communism around the world. And he also talks about identity politics today, both between, genders, and breaking down the like the male female dynamic that we've identified as for a while. And and then goes back to the roots of those things using the stories that we've always had. And I never fully understand it. If you don't take them literally, I know that there are some people who are religious who will take them literally, but he really explained to me the core of what those stories were actually saying by showing how recent modern experiences are the exact same thing, but on a larger scale. And so I want to talk about some of the specific examples that he got into. So he talks about the communist regime and about how in communist, I think it was in Russia, I think he also spoke about China, there were peasants who were envious of people who worked harder and did better than them. And so, and then he also talks about the elite, who is the same thing that's happening today with Marxist sort of infiltration, just under another name, in terms of pitting groups against each other by saying that the only reason that some group is doing so much better is because they are holding you down. And the first thing, when you go from the religious perspective, that he's the stories that he brings up, is thinking about suffering. And the fact that suffering is something that already exists within the world without human beings then being cruel to each other. So just because suffering exists doesn't mean that it's actually because of people. And in trying to fix the suffering that goes on in the world through things like wealth distribution, then we actually create more suffering that's harder to deal with because it's human-created suffering rather than just natural suffering like death or illness or sickness. And so, going back to the story of Adam and Eve, that is how we know what good and evil is, because we know what suffering is, and so we can recreate that state in other people. The religious stories of the past taught us how to deal with suffering, and that's creating order from chaos. And that's something that we've lost today because of the death of God. He talks about Nietzsche a lot. And then also due to moral relativism, because we are encountering different cultures, and instead of sticking to the cultures that we've, the culture that, this is the West, I know technically I'm trans, I have been, not me personally, but my ancestors were transposed into a different culture, but whatever, I have grown up with a certain culture. So he's talking about the West and the fact that there were these values that were passed down mostly through religions. These stories are giving us those things, just not in a metaphorical sense. But then we don't really pay attention to them anymore because we're trying to be so nice to other people, but that is actually breaking down our civilization, as we can sort of see is happening today, where they're trying to get rid of, say, calling people male and female, that gender binary that exists everywhere, not just in human species. That's something he also gets into, the fact that a lot of the issues that we consider unique to being humans is something that exists in the animal world. You know, he talks about hierarchy a lot, and lobsters, for example, and that these things serve a purpose. They didn't just come into place because someone was trying to oppress somebody else. And it's not actually oppression, it's just the roles that people fit in, that they have chosen to fit themselves into in some ways. And maybe those things can change, but you can't employ tyranny in order to change it under the guise of being good. Some of the other examples he gave were very personal, particularly at the end. He talks about his daughter and some of the suffering that he and his family have faced. And he also talks about a friend of his at some point throughout the book who wasn't having a good time, but would not focus on his own choices and actions, but rather focus on other people and how they were doing. And that relates back to the story of Cain and Abel as well. So I think what the book is doing is, one, giving us the metaphysical groundwork for how we've navigated life, which is through our religious and heroic stories, not just religious. And then two, relating it to how it's affecting, or the lack of those guidelines is affecting our world today. Specifically focusing on the horrific incidents of the past century or two centuries. And then also giving some personal examples. And then I think for me, the real gem of the book is basically, how does one live life in a world of suffering without causing more suffering to others in a world that already has a lot of suffering? And that already sounds like a lot of religions in the world today. However, he takes it from a more, I would say, academic perspective. and really exposes the deeper underpinnings of what is going on in our minds. One thing that really stood out to me was he was talking about how the way we perceive characters in the world is mother, father, and child. And I thought that made so much sense. I don't know, that was just something that really stood out to me. So it's little things like that he really gets at. And I'd never thought about, for example, when he was talking about good and evil and the knowledge, Adam and Eve gaining the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible doesn't actually explain how. They just say, oh, they ate from the tree of life and then gained the knowledge of good and evil. But what he really breaks that down to show that it's because they are now going to be experiencing suffering because they have to work for everything. And because they know what suffering is, they can inflict that suffering upon others. And so they can make that choice. And that is the knowledge of good and evil. You can choose to be good by doing things that don't cause suffering, more suffering, because there might already be natural events that cause suffering to others. Or you can choose to inflict pain. And then something else he talks about is that decision, particularly when encountering the suffering in one's own life, because you can decide to hate others, which is what a lot of people do when they are envious or they steal or they try to take away or they kill someone. Or he specifically talks about hating being itself. And the example he likes to use is that of the Columbine shooters and how people can reach a state of deciding to externalize whatever suffering they're undergoing by saying, what is the point of life? And so he's telling you that you don't have to experience life this way. And then he gives some guidelines about how to go about that. I'm actually going to say what all the 12 rules were just to say it. But I think that in my mind, I don't actually remember every single one of the 12 rules. I actually just have an idea in my head of how to live, which I think was on purpose. Telling the moral lesson through story is more effective, I think, at making it stick than just having someone tell you, oh, well, this is what you should do. So these are the 12 rules. I'm just going to read them. I don't want to like tell you all the little lessons of the book. You should actually read it yourself. Rule 1, stand up straight with your shoulders back. Rule 2, treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Rule 3, make friends with people who want the best for you. Rule 4, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. Rule 5, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Actually, at this point, I really like this because he talks about socialization of children and why certain virtues came into play. Well, he uses the previous stories of the earlier biblical characters to show why certain virtues like kindness came about. And then he talks about how you can guide your children basically so that they're already doing those things that will help them to navigate life where there is a world of suffering, and how important it is for them to be socialized properly so that they can benefit from other people helping them on that journey. Rule 6, set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. Rule 7, sort yourself out. Rule 7, pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. He talks about how we derive order from chaos through meaning. Think about a work of art. Something could be scattered all over the place, but because you can draw the patterns, then you derive order from it and meaning. So when something happens to you in your life, you don't just do things that make you feel good. You do things setting yourself towards a certain goal. That reminds me of him talking about looking at the stars and how that's you setting your sights on an ideal. And then so you're focused on the heavens, you're focused on the greatest ideal out there. But then you're also living your daily tasks, but they're guiding you towards that, you know, your ultimate, I guess, dream or self-actualization. If he doesn't use that word, but I think it counts here. Rule 8, tell the truth or at least don't lie. Rule 9, assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. Rule 10, be precise in your speech. This one, he really talks about how in Soviet Russia, a lot of the atrocities that were allowed to happen was because people were lying to themselves and to others about their daily experience of life. And you know what? It really makes me think about me and my channel, and the fact that I decided to start speaking was really important because that's me being authentic about how I'm experiencing the world and how I don't agree with certain things and how certain things make me upset. And instead of just going along with it out of fear, even though it might not go exactly the way I want it to, I can live at peace with myself because I said something and I didn't just allow society to just flow around me like water, even though I thought it was going. I didn't like the way I was feeling about something. Rule 11, do not bother children when they are skateboarding. Rule 12, pet a cat when you encounter one on the street. And they're sort of cryptic because you have to read the stories to get the messages. So I don't know if I super enjoyed the book. I think that it was very helpful, but it was also very deep, which sometimes can be uncomfortable. It was almost talking about how awful the world can be, and it really is in a lot of ways. It's very meaningful because it's giving you the means to walk through life, but at the same time, it's hard to focus for so long on such deep existential, that's what I would call them, thoughts about being. Anyway, I think he's providing something very valuable to the world, and I think that he's putting into words things that we, perhaps the average person, can't put into words as well, and it's something that is really needed in today's world because we have lost the antidote to chaos that our forefathers gave us in many ways. So that's it. I'm just going to touch a bit on my last video for my subscribers. I'm okay. I'm definitely upset, but I'm going to do something with it rather than just be upset. So expect more videos from me. Thank you for your support. I'm probably going to do like two more sort of reviews of things, but try and cover some more current events in the future as well. Bye guys. Have a good day.